We have some, start to say strange faces, new faces. And glad to see those of you who have joined us today, perhaps for the first time. 42 minutes, okay. I'll try not to pound on the podium. Well, I've been so nice the first 2 days, I hadn't done that a time, I don't think. I want to remind you of the lectureship at Schertz, November 9 through 13, Studies in Luke. With this volume, we will have covered the entire New Testament in our lectureship format. 21 of the annual Denton lectures, and this will be actually number 22 in that series, only the first one at Schertz. And, of course, we have four volumes that cover the Old Testament historical books as well. So I hope you'll want to come and engage in that study, which I think is going to be an outstanding study, November the 9th through the 13th. Brother Ken Ratcliffe, who works with us and with whom I work in Gospel Journal publication, is one of the elders at Schertz and one of the preachers at Schertz. And I'm sure he'd be glad to visit with you and answer any questions you might have. If you can't find me, maybe you can find Ken and talk to us about the lectureship. They have done a great amount of planning and publicity on it, and we anticipate great interest in it. We do have quite a number of questions today. Some of them left over from yesterday. We didn't get to. And we'll see if we can address some of these. If possible, please explain the justification for a family life center. How do we justify padded seats and air conditioning? Would it be okay if the gymnasium served also as the worship facility or a multi-purpose facility? Should we condemn those churches who have a gymnasium and withhold fellowship from them? Well, there are several questions there, as you can see. Explain the justification for a family life center. I don't think I can do that. Maybe somebody else can, because I don't think they can be justified. The comparison between padded seats and air conditioning is not a good comparison. The reason we need air conditioning is because it gets hot. I know that brethren worship together in buildings and under brush arbors and sometimes under trees and sometimes in the wide open spaces before the days of air conditioning. But generally, those who had to worship under trees, as soon as they could, found some kind of shelter in which to work, either built it or rented it or bought it. And I can remember as a youngster when the only restroom facilities in church buildings were in little houses out back, if there was one at all. As soon as technology and advances allowed it, most of our brethren moved those facilities into the buildings that they had moved into. And even those who oppose using the building for certain things, such as eating a meal, somehow have managed to get the restrooms in that building and the use of those facilities, and have somehow managed to justify the drinking fountain. One can drink in those buildings, he just dare not eat in them. The point of all of this is we can go to extremes in opposing certain things that are matters of option and expediency, such as a meeting house. The scriptural justification for a meeting house is not a command to build a meeting house, but a command to assemble. That authorizes a place and a time of assembly. And what sort of facility we assemble in is left entirely up to the best judgment of each locality, of each eldership, where there's an eldership. I don't know whether they had elders in Troas who made the decision to meet in the third story of the building they were meeting in. I don't know whether it was owned or rented or borrowed. But the point is, there was scriptural authorization for a place in which to meet. Now, one extreme is to be so bent over backward and straight-laced that one would even object to a building. And the other extreme is to veer far to the left and try to justify building any sort of building that we would like to build for any purpose. There is indeed scriptural authority for building a building in which to meet, to assemble, to enjoy fellowship with one another in worship, and in other circumstances as well. Often the passage in 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul is discussing the aberrations of the Lord's Supper, in which he says, what have you not houses to eat and to drink in, is grievously misapplied relating to the church building. Paul is by no means making the application that's sometimes made of that passage, which application would forbid eating a meal in a church building. What he is addressing is that they were corrupting the Lord's Supper by confusing a meal of physical food with the Lord's Supper itself. The context demands that that's what he's addressing, beginning at verse 17, going through the end of the chapter. And so he's saying, if you're going to keep on having these physical meals and confusing them with the Lord's Supper, then eat your physical meal at home. Don't mix a physical meal with the spiritual worship of God. And I would be just as much opposed to that as the Apostle Paul is, and for the same reasons. But when we start building a building, the major purpose of which is for our own recreation and entertainment, and try to justify doing so by saying that we can attract people by doing this, I believe we've veered just as much to an extreme left as the other things I've been talking about veer to the extreme right. Now, that's the way I would answer the question about justification or lack of justification for a family life center. Tommy and Marvin and I were talking about this a little bit last night after we got over to Tom and Sue's house, and Tom said Family Life Center is just the way liberals spell gymnasium. And that really is about the case. Now, what about the question, should we condemn those churches who have a gymnasium and withhold fellowship from them? Well, it would be a very sweeping statement, I suppose, to say just a blanket yes. I believe, however, there is a parallel here to what we said about the modern versions of Scripture yesterday and the fellowship issue involved in those. You can almost always see an earmark, a tendency, a red flag, when you see a family life center that indicates that there are several other things headed doctrinally leftward when you see that. I'm not saying that there are no exceptions to that because I'm not omniscient. I do not know that for a fact. I'm just telling you what my experience is in it. You name all of the well-known avant-garde so-called progressive and liberal congregations among us, and they have for several years had one of these. You name many of those who are on the bubble. They have not really taken a stand, and they're not going to take a stand on matters of doctrine. and many, many of those have them. And on the other hand, it's very difficult to find a congregation that is known for its soundness in the faith and its conservative approach to Scripture. And I'm not afraid to use the word conservative, brethren. It expresses a good and true scriptural idea. We're trying to conserve what God has given us in His Word. It's all that I mean by that. But those congregations like this one, and the one where my family are members, Roanoke, Texas, the ones from which most of you come, I do not think would ever seriously entertain building a building for recreation and entertainment unless some radical changes in direction take place in those churches. And so I suppose without going all the way of saying should we withhold fellowship from every church that has such a building, I might stop just a little bit short of that because it has the term every in it. There may be some circumstances of which I'm not aware. But when a church builds a building, and that is its main purpose, it's sending a great big signal. And it's not a good signal in my understanding of Scripture. Now, some of you might want to respond to that, might want to add something to it, might want to take something away from it. I don't know. But I'd be glad for you to do so if you want to. You can do it right now, or we'll give you another opportunity a little bit later.
Marvin Weir from Rowlett, Texas. I agree with what you said, Dub. Even if, you know, you've often heard it said, well, this was built with outside help or funds. Money didn't come out of, quote, the church treasury. But even if someone were to donate funds to you where you could build a swimming pool, a baseball field, a gymnasium, whatever, there's the influence factor that you're going to have to deal with and the impression it leaves on others. I think it's much akin to moving an instrument of music in for a wedding or something of that nature and saying, well, this is not worship. And in having people, neighbors, community say, well, they just move an instrument in when they want it and don't use it when they don't want it. So we've got to be concerned about all of these things, but I don't believe when you take everything into consideration, you can justify it in any way.
Okay. Thank you, Marvin. There's another factor that he triggered in my mind in saying that the funds that go into building a building of that sort, and sometimes I've been told that they amount to $500,000, you think of the gospel that could be preached with that money. And you think of the accountability of the elders of that church when Judgment Day comes, when they could have used those funds for taking the gospel to the whole world. And those things were used rather for other purposes. Yes, sir.
Scott O'Neill, South Plains Church of Christ. I didn't write the question, but it does come home for me. I didn't grow up in the church. Struggled to get here very hard. Consider myself an extreme conservative. That's why I always come to these lectureships. I very much enjoy it. I was against our fellowship center, our gymnasium, but mainly for stewardship purposes of God's money.
But what I've just mentioned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was the reason I was against it. Mm-hmm. But the question that came to you was from somebody who I was talking to about it, and they decided to pose the question. But I was wondering about the justification not only of cushions and air conditioning, but parking lots paved, all the things that we have come to consider normal. We have developed it, and therefore we won't let it go because it's our tradition. This is the way we do things. What I was saying was, I've almost come to the belief that instead of building buildings that can only be used or normally are only used two times on Sunday and once on Wednesday nights, and every once in a while for occasions like this, if we were to simply build buildings that could be used for all kinds of purposes at all times rather than these type of buildings, not in addition to. And I think that would be a better stewardship of God's money. And as far as the justification over here, it hasn't been just so we can have a place to play. Many of the congregations in town have been coming to us because they don't want to no longer go to the Baptist places for their children to play basketball or the public places. They wanted a nice, safe place, and they've been coming over here to us. And yes, it has drawn neighbor kids, and that wasn't the intent of it. But also, if we just use it just for basketball or just use it, we've used it for retreats, we've used it for fellowships, we've used it for dinners, we've used it as our worship hall many, many times because we've had so many people come. We've used it for so many purposes, and we found that it actually has really helped. And granted, again, I'm still concerned about the money issue, but that's why I would say I'd rather have that building or an old Kmart than building buildings like this that are used just very seldom. I think this is not a good stewardship of God's money.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Well, there is one justification for that kind of building and that kind of facility. I still believe when we talk about padded pews and air conditioning and a paved parking lot and then a family life center, we're talking about apples and oranges. If you want to just get it down to the bare nub of what we could get by with, that's one thing. Then we ought not to even have a building. Let's just, whatever kind of weather, just meet under a tree or meet out in the open. But obviously there is more to the authorization the Scriptures give us for a place of worship than merely meeting out in the open. Even the church buildings are the churches that did not have a building met in homes often in the New Testament, until that home was no longer able to contain them. But they still were in a building, a facility. And I don't know about what all goes on here all throughout the week, but I suspect that this building is used far more than three times a week and one time a year in the lectureship. And that's the case with the buildings in most of the places where we are. And that's the way it should be. We should make the best use of the facilities that we do have. But again, there is an extreme to which we can go in both directions. Go ahead, Ken.
Ken Ratcliffe from Church, Texas. If it indeed is true that our buildings are not being used sufficiently, it would seem that the appropriate thing to do is, rather than moving towards entertaining ourselves and using it for that purpose, that it would merely suggest that we should then look for ways in which we might be conducting Bible studies and other efforts that are related to the spreading of the gospel to make the further use of the facility in that respect, rather than turning to other areas in which to use it, which I think is basically the direction you were headed with some of your thoughts.
Right.
Oh, okay. Tommy Hicks, Southside Church, Lubbock, Texas. You can rationalize and justify just about anything. Scripturally speaking, we have authority in the Lord's church to evangelize, to edify, and to do benevolence. We are not in the recreation business. We have no scriptural authority for spending the Lord's money on gymnasiums. Now, the Lord's church can meet in a gymnasium. We can worship and worship in spirit and truth in a gymnasium. And I'm thinking of it either as a public facility that the church might use until it can obtain, you know, its own facilities or whatever. But the bottom line is we simply don't have the authority. We can attract people. I believe it was Brother Larry Fluitt a number of years ago that wrote a bulletin article about a baptistry.
Olympic size.
And when he described it, it was somewhat larger than the baptistry here. It had a shallow end and a deep end. And when you finally determined the measurements, it was an Olympic size swimming pool. Now, I'm sure that, talking about public places, I'm sure that brethren, and maybe even some people that are not members of the church, would much rather their children swim in a safe place with good kids or good people than in some owned by denominational people or private even. But what it was said to be, instead of calling it what it was described to be, an Olympic-sized swimming pool, they referred to it as a baptistry. And in that article, the point was made, when they're not using it to baptize people, then they could use it for another purpose. Swimming.
Multi-purpose baptistry.
Multi-purpose baptistry. I have often wondered, and by the way, I've talked to several people about this, the expense involved in a gymnasium doesn't stop when a gymnasium is built. And a gymnasium is an extremely expensive facility insofar as upkeep is concerned. And again, how do you justify using the Lord's money for recreational purposes? Now, I'm not opposed to recreation, but we've always in the past been able to put recreation where it ought to be. The Family Life Center, folks, according to the scriptures, is the home.
Right.
And that's where we need to leave it. And that's where we need to keep recreation. Let the church be the church. Let the YMCA and the YWCA be what they were created to be. Now, I have no animosity or anger or any kind of bad feelings toward those, you know, that are my brethren who might be worshiping in places where I would not say we... Well, for example, going back a few years ago, the church had to, in some places, meet in saloons. Now, brethren could worship there. Way, way back yonder, they worshiped in the catacombs. A place is implied in the command to assemble. Now, the place must always involve the expediencies. Padded pews, air conditioning, all of these things are expediencies. I don't think you can say that about a gymnasium. How does it expedite? How does it help in carrying out the worship? It doesn't. And I hope if there's anybody that needs more clarity in my feelings, I'll be glad to give it later.
Thank you, Tom. The gymnasium belongs with not only the YMCA, but the home. If you know, recreation, entertaining belongs with parents and not with elders of the church or deacons of the church or youth ministers of the church.
Then, Malcolm Young, Southside Church of Christ. As we speak of these things, I remember some of the struggles that Southside has experienced in the last few years. We're thankful to God for the growth that we've experienced in the last few years also, but when we talk about building buildings or gymnasiums or using the Lord's money in various ways, I think each of us need to be reminded that someday we'll stand before the Creator and we'll give an account as to how we've used the monies that we've had to use in the Lord in spreading the gospel for the Lord. I think of congregations, the way Southside has struggled in years gone by. I think of the congregation in Aurora, Colorado, that's having a difficult time. They don't have a permanent building, if you will, to meet in. I've not been privileged to go to Aurora, but I know of people and have heard of reports of some of the problems that they're faced with there. Southside is trying in a small way to help that congregation. And I think that it would be very hard as an elder to think about standing before God and saying, we have about 4 acres of property here. We have ample room to build a gym. We can build an Olympic swimming pool here. We have the area as far as the area. But when we try to help other congregations to spread the gospel, when we're trying to help with mission work and we think of spending dollars or for entertainment centers, if you will, it really bothers me to think of men that has the responsibility placed on their shoulders to oversee the Lord's work, to use money or facilities in that manner. And I think each of us need to examine ourselves, not just elders, not just preachers, but I'm talking about on an individual basis. We need to examine ourselves and realize that one day we'll stand before the Creator and have to give an account. How are we spending our money as a family unit? How are we using the Lord's money as a congregation? Are we doing any work to try to evangelize? Are we helping to spread the gospel anywhere? Or are we selfishly using it on ourselves to build entertainment centers? We love young people. No one loves young people any more than we do. And we're thankful for the young people we have. And we try to have get-togethers. They have several get-togethers for cookouts or whatever for our younger children and families. But that's not that didn't come out of the church treasury. Mm-hmm. But we need to be careful when we start talking about spending the Lord's money and be reminded that someday we'll stand before the Creator and we'll have to give an account.
Thank you, Malcolm. Malcolm's one of the elders here at Southside, by the way, in case there's anyone here who doesn't know that.
I had another thought. 2 thoughts in one day is kind of rare for me.
Thought you looked tired.
One of the things, of course, that the Scriptures teach is that we are to obey the law. In order to build the facility that we're building for our worship, the city of Lubbock requires that we pave so much parking area. And that's measured by the number of seats in the auditorium, if I understand. Is that right, Malcolm? And landscaping is required and all these things to be able to accommodate the folk for worship. Now, knowing my elders as I do, if the city did not require us to pave the parking lot, well, I better quit.
All right. Anyone else? Looks like someone else. Come on up, Brother Dale. Well, this is a good discussion. These things need to be discussed.
Dale Stone, the Southside Congregation. Just this past week, I was visited with a man who is arguing with his elders about building a gymnasium. And it just so happens that a man that works for him is one of these that uses these gymnasiums. He plays basketball at the Nazarene Church on one night, the First Baptist on one night. He's about four nights a week. He goes to these different locations and plays basketball. And he's a super basketball player. He's doing it in a good atmosphere, he thinks. But he's not associated with any of those spiritual or church groups, if you want to refer to it as that, in any way other than playing basketball. That's his sole purpose to go there. And they receive teams from all over, all backgrounds. But I don't know of any, and he hadn't referred to any thing spiritual going on whenever they go to play basketball. It's solely for that purpose. And as elders, we need to be sure what the purpose is of the things that we do. The Lord's work has already been identified as what it should be. And again, one of the main jobs that I feel that we have as an elder is how do we use the Lord's money. Here at Southside, we consider this new building that we're building. And if you notice, there's not any bells and whistles on this building here, nor is there any on that building over there. It's just, we got one window. We improved on it. And we have some members here. I don't see them here right now. But when they came here and placed membership about a month ago, the first thing that they asked was, what are y'all building out there? Because to a passerby, it looks like a gymnasium. One of the main jobs that I said a while ago is how do we spend the Lord's money? If it's not doing the work of the Lord, then we're overstepping our bounds and trying to do things that God didn't intend for us to do. Many of you know, and Ronnie Hayes was talking a day or two ago and bragging on his son, since I'm up here, I've got a pretty good athlete or two at my house. But that's where we try to keep those activities on a personal level. And they know that those activities are important to me, but they also know who's first at our house.
Well, the Stones, the other elder here at Southside, I noticed they got the construction crew really busy Monday and got that drop ceiling all in that building over there, so nobody would be thinking about that high ceiling, what they're going to put in there.
Lenny Reagan, Coldwater, Mississippi. Brother Dub, I know that there are a lot of congregations who have spent lots of money on buildings. And I too, with the brother who posed the question a little earlier, I'm concerned about the money that we'll spend, as most of us here are, on buildings. And I appreciate the congregation here and others as well who are experiencing growth and do need to build larger buildings to house and to teach. But I appreciate his comment relative to the fact that, you know, it's a building and that's it. I mean, the bells and the whistles and things. When I was in India the last year, I saw men who had dedicated their lives to preaching the gospel, and they do so many times without support at all. They walk. They don't get in their cars and travel to village to village. Many of them walk. If they're fortunate, they have a bicycle. And I have a real problem, not personally, but I have a real difficult problem in congregations spending the money in such situations as we're talking about. And then giving very little percentage-wise of their budget to mission works or evangelism. When $25 a month will support an Indian preacher and his family and support them well, I just have a real problem with that.
Thank you, Lenny. That is a good emphasis. I'm as opposed to building the Family Life Center type thing or other such things for recreational purposes. As opposed as I am to that, I'm as opposed to building a cathedral, to building lavish buildings just to meet in for worship even. I think there's a dreadful waste of the Lord's money on such facilities as those in many cases that have not only bells and whistles, but the bells and whistles have bells and whistles. Totally unnecessary, luxurious things in many of the buildings. And far less could have been spent to serve the very same purposes for a meeting house. I had this note handed to me. Jamaica is a country in which if a religious organization does not have a standard church building, it becomes difficult to get people to come. Two reasons. Many religious people come, set up camp, accomplish their end, and leave. They may rent a storefront, a house. The people have become leery of religious intentions. And second, Jamaicans are very proud and have the concept that if you do not have a, quote, church building, unquote, you are not a church. To be more effective, church buildings are needed in Jamaica. Many here in America have the same concept. Well, I've been to Jamaica a number of times and worked in campaigns, preached in campaigns, and I know that it does help brethren when they have a building that gives some sense of permanence to their work. Now, in the meetings that we would conduct, we'd always have a tent, and we'd meet in the tent, and the preaching would take place there, and Bible studies would be set up there for the next day, and we would bring people from the day of the meeting that night that we've been studying with and give them more teaching and so forth. But I'm certainly in favor of helping brethren get buildings to help them with a more permanent situation and a better situation, such as in Jamaica. In India, I'm quite sure I haven't been to India. But from those with whom I've visited, there I've seen many, many pictures of the buildings in India. They get by on just next to nothing, and sometimes nothing, don't they, Lenny? Yeah. All right. Had another one.
Frank Carriger from Beeville, Texas. Considering these family life centers and any kind of entertainment center, you know, and I'm going to make a parallel to what Brother Young had to say a while ago about the church in Aurora, Colorado. I will make a parable to them and Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus wanted the crumbs off the table. The Aurora congregation meets in a little horseshoe shopping center. Beer joint on one side, tattoo parlor on the other side. And as you well know, a Sunday evening, we had to kick the drunks out of the way to get into worship.
Yeah, and if Brother Ted Harshberger Ted's
here. If it hadn't been for him, Lester had a confrontation with the owner of the beer joint. They had valet parking. Now, what I'm getting at, the duty of the church is to seek and save the lost. After you get the lost saved, and that you have a duty to keep them saved. Aurora has a young congregation. And I wonder how long them young people are going to put up with having to go through them drunks and whatnot to get to worship. I'm afraid they're going to go to drifting off.
Yeah, and take their children
with them. I am absolutely sure that they would love to have what the goals cost in a gymnasium. They would love to have what it costs to maintain that floor in that gymnasium, to go toward being able to build their own building. And I believe that their congregation would double if they had it in a short time. It's just beyond me how you could spend money for any kind of entertainment center when your sister church down the road is struggling, I mean struggling, to stay in existence and keep the saved.
Thank you, Frank. Of course, some of those churches that have built the entertainment center are not, this is not a blanket statement now, but some of those are not concerned that that struggling congregation that's wanting to preach only the truth succeeds, because it's a thorn in their side. Just one more comment here. Yes, I have been to Aurora. I know well their situation there, as Brother Frank and Sister Joyce have, and some others who are here. And the church here has already given them as many pews as they can take from this building and the baptistry. They're going to have to put it in storage for X number of years until they can find a place to put them, because folding chairs is all they can use in their storefront facility right now. They're growing in spite of that. They're prospering in spite of that. But with a decent facility, they would indeed prosper. Yes, sir.
Please indulge me. I don't mean to be taking up everybody's time, but I'd like to respond. As far as talking about using the Lord's money and not using the Lord's money, in my mind, it's all the Lord's money, regardless of whether it's given to the entity of the church or they got it still in their pockets. As far as the comparison of a swimming pool, it's so limited, a baptismal or a swimming pool. I would go back again to the idea that I like Tommy Hicks' idea, an old gymnasium. I'm just thinking of a way to utilize, be a better steward of God's money, and to utilize the building for so much more than we do now.